Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski was on the morning show today. They had Kevin for a full hour. I thought it was interesting. I think in that setting, I think you really kind of got to know Kevin a little bit more. We found out he's a Pearl Jam fan, which, given his age, that makes sense. I thought it was, one, very good job by Ken and Anthony on with Kevin. And I thought it was kind of a way, you kind of heard him relax the more he got into it. And I thought you heard more of the real Kevin.
Kevin's a good dude, man. I've had a chance to talk to him off the air a few times. And very impressive. The way he comes across in like press conferences and stuff, like, he's a different dude, man. That's a persona he puts on. Kind of puts up the guard, which most coaches do. It's not surprising. But he really is a cool dude, man.
And I think, you know, one of the things, we're actually not going to play it because it's not like a big thing. One of the things that was interesting, he really sold Ken Dorsey in a way that very, and I don't want to say he's not sold. Like, he's always given credit to his assistants. But in terms of Ken just having a different perspective because of his career in the NFL and his time as an assistant, and bringing different things to the table, Kevin really sold that is something that has been kind of a breath of fresh air of having a new perspective on offense. And, I mean, I might be mischaracterizing what he said, but basically he was like, I think we're going to see something on the field that was different than what we've seen in a while. And he was pretty verbose when he said that. There was no kind of couching that at all. He seemed pretty excited about what they're going to do offensively, what they're going to try and do offensively.
I can imagine he is excited. It's a new voice, a new offense. I certainly hope it's a hell of a lot better than we saw at the end of his tenure there in Buffalo, where things got a little dicey with Ken Dorsey. But look, he's been around for quite a while. He was, what, the quarterback's coach for a while in Carolina?
Carolina, and
sort of, you know, gone up the ranks here. I like the move, man.
Well, I think what's interesting is, I think the biggest thing that ever happened to Kevin's career was when Gary Kubiak went to Minnesota. Because remember, like, Kevin has kind of been predominantly, his entire career has pretty much been in the West Coast offense. Brad Childress was his first head coach. He kind of actually talked a little bit about that today, being the assistant to the head coach his first season in the NFL and how that kind of informed his opinion on what a head coach does. But, like, he's always been in the West Coast. But one of the things that happened that I think changed Kevin's career was working with Gary Kubiak. Mm-hmm. And Kevin's talked a lot about how that kind of helped his career. But Kevin hasn't really worked with a lot of coaches outside the West Coast offense. And if you look at Ken, the most interesting thing is, like, what he did in Carolina, what he did with his own teams in the NFL, by the way, when he played, he played or was exposed to 4, 5, maybe 6 different offensive schemes. And I'm saying between playing and coaching, and I think that's the kind of thing that can really help you. Like, I think that kind of diversity of thought is something that maybe a guy like Alex Van Pelt, and I don't think AVP played in the West Coast, but, like, he came up through Green Bay. I think he spent a little time in Cincinnati. Pretty much everything AVP had done in his career had been West Coast offense. And so I thought that was really interesting. I just haven't heard Kevin sell an assistant on the offensive side of the ball, specifically how verbose, he was over the top in his compliments towards Ken Dorsey. You can tell he's very, or Ken Dorsey, as I just tried to say.
Well, I mean, he just hired a guy. You think if he was ripping the guy now, I'd be concerned.
Well, no, but that's an area of coach speak, right?
Yeah.
And I think he, I thought he was, I think he sounded like a guy who was really happy and I don't want to say surprised, but pleasantly aware of where that relationship is some 3 or 4 months in. Now, the big headline, obviously, was the Mike Vrabel hiring. And not only, I mean, you know, you heard a little bit about Ken Dorsey. You heard a lot of bit about Ken Dorsey. You heard a little bit about Bubba Ventrone in the conversation. And then today, Kevin kind of walked through some of the ways that Mike Vrabel has been involved with this team. And I thought there's some really interesting things in this answer.
I love Coach Vrabel. He's been awesome. I've enjoyed just the time we've been together already has been really, really, really fun. He's a Buckeye. He's Northeast Ohio. He's got a great love for this area and this team. I loved when we first got in the building and put a brown sweatshirt on him, just seeing him walk around in a brown sweatshirt. I was like, all right, that looks good. So I'm glad we got him in the fold. He is really, really going to help me. And I say that because he's a friend of mine, but I couldn't pick up the phone and call him and talk to him about everything because he's in our conference. He's coaching another team in our conference. So now I just feel like I have a resource who's available to me because as we were talking about earlier, stuff's going to happen that really you can only talk to other head coaches, guys that have dealt with similar things. So that's just one area that he's helped us. I mentioned already, he's spending a lot of time with us on the kickoff play and because he's a guy that's been out there and has done that. And he's a former teammate of Bubba's in New England. So that's really helpful. He's helping Andrew with a lot of the draft stuff. We're giving him players to watch. So he's just an incredible resource for us. And really where it goes back to is once he wasn't going to be a head coach this year, which I was shocked. I mean, I expected him to be a head coach. Once he wasn't in this cycle, I was like, dude, if you're not doing anything, we'll take you. Like, I'll take whatever you're willing to give us. And I think with his relationship with me, his relationship with Andrew, and I don't want to speak for Vrabes, he can speak for himself when he talks to you guys, but I just felt like he wanted to help. And I think he wanted to go somewhere where he had a familiarity with the group.
I don't know if this is the point of that answer, but if you had any remaining question about whether Kevin is threatened by Mike Vrabel, I think that would put it to bed.
That put it to bed. And it also was maybe one of the more genuine answers he's ever given.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
I felt everything he said right there. I wasn't like rolling my eyes like, oh, this is BS. No, I think he was genuine. I mean, honestly, that felt like he was telling, he could tell me that off the air and I'd be like, oh, that's, wow.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, to his credit, I thought he sounded more today like the Kevin we've experienced off the air. You've experienced it more. Ken has experienced it more. But even in our passing at training camp, when I've talked to him a couple times off air for 5 minutes, 6 minutes here, that's the Kevin you get. And I thought it was interesting. While we're talking about this, Bob on Twitter saying, I've never been Stefanski's biggest fan, but after this morning, I've changed my mind. I really like him, and I'm very happy he is here. But I thought the role that he kind of threw out there for Vrabel, you know, I think if you look at when the Browns have maybe missed the mark, there's always been, hey, we think this is the reason. You, if you were cynical, which at points I have been, you could call it a fall guy, right? Baker was the fall guy for 2021. Last year, or sorry, not this last year, but 2022, it was Clowney and it was Joe Woods. But then when they win and when they succeed, there is an immense amount of credit given out. And so obviously this year, the credit given to Joe Flacco, but honestly, credit in the form of money was given out to guys who were on one-year deals that they brought back, guys like Mo Hurst, like Za'Darius Smith, guys like that. So I think what's interesting to hear is it sure sounds like Mike Vrabel is about as integral as a role as you can have without being an actual official assistant, and it seems to be kind of what they actually said it was going to be, which is kind of in a floating role. Because you also heard the same thing. I mean, you've heard that he was helping in terms of the draft. You heard he was helping with the new special teams play and how to attack that. As he's kind of known to be one of the rule guys, one of the Mr. Rulebooks in the NFL, Mike Vrabel always looking for that competitive advantage. You add to it, like, the way Kevin put it, it sure felt like this is an incredible resource to have as you try and find out how to have back-to-back winning seasons for the first time since 1988-1989.
It's been that long, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
They're going back to the playoffs this year.
I gotta say,
I'd be very surprised if they don't.
I mean, the only thing I can think of, I mean, the record's going to be, it's going to be a little tougher because all of a sudden you're not the last place team in your division, so your record's going to be a little different. But like, Everything's there. And I do think, like, after listening to how Kevin talked about it, I kind of think Mike Vrabel can be a difference maker for them. Mm. You know, I think one of the things that this organization has shown you is the continuity that matters to them is, and Philly has shown this too, by the way, it is in the key decision makers. Like in Philly, it's Howie Roseman. That's the continuity that matters. He's even changed out head coaches. Hell, before the end of next year, he could be bringing in a guy like Bill Belichick if Nick Sirianni doesn't kind of get it done to the level they expect.
Yeah.
But like in Cleveland, that you've shown, now under this era, it's DePodesta, it's Stefanski, and it's Barry. And that's, you know, so we're going to bring in a Ryan Grigson for 2 years as a special assistant. You're going to bring in Mike Vrabel as a special assistant to pretty much everybody. And I think kind of seeing that, I think that's one of the things that I think we probably should be giving them more credit for, because there's the conversation, and it's obvious, well, if this doesn't go the way you want it, does Vrabel, blah, 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 blah. That's a conversation we had when he was hired. It doesn't become a conversation again until that one specific avenue opens up. Overall, it sounds like they're just going to kind of utilize this guy and understand that they probably got 12 months with him, so why not utilize him as much as he's being willing to? And I think that, again, I think a guy like that could be a tremendous asset to a guy who's still developing as a head coach.
I think it's huge. You know, Vrabel has the experience not only as a player, a 15-year vet in the league, and then on top of that, his ability to, you know, be a coach that has taken the team to the AFC title game, right? Did they go to the AFC title game?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So very close to going to a Super Bowl. Probably shouldn't have been let go. Should be a head coach in the NFL. And yet somehow he's on our coaching staff, just popping in meetings and just giving you consultation.
Was this the most ridiculous coaching cycle ever?
It's bizarre, man. A lot of good coaches didn't get gigs.
Like you had Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
You had Belichick. You had Vrabel. And none of them reportedly came close to getting another job.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, like Buffalo. I'll be honest with you. I got some opinions on Sean McDermott. I'd take Vrabel, Belichick, or Carroll over Sean McDermott. I know it's not as simple as that, but oh my gosh, what was the other job? Oh, Mike McCarthy in Dallas. Like the expectations are, and now it's put them into the ultimate one-year situation where Vrabel, Dak Prescott, and half that roster could be gone if they don't win a playoff game this year. Man, I can't believe there's a world in which Mike Vrabel, and Belichick's the obvious one because of the Super Bowl wins. Not here in Cleveland, obviously, but overall, I'd be way more interested in Vrabel for a head coaching spot, considering he's still, I think he might have just turned 50 or is right around 50. I can't believe that guy isn't a head coach, and given how relaxed Kevin sounded about Mike's role, and you can tell that he had to sign off on it. He was one of the proponents of this idea. I don't think it's far-fetched to kind of get excited about the fact that Mike Vrabel could have a huge positive influence on this as he waits to become a head coach again.
Oh, I think he's going to have a huge impact. We won't necessarily know the role he has because it's all behind the scenes, behind the curtain stuff. So unless coach decides to go into details and say, I'll tell you that play right there or that, you know, call defensively was on Vrabel. He saw something on tape. I don't know, man. It's always good to have extra eyes and ears who know what the hell they're looking for and being able to bring that to the meeting room and then onto the field.
I mean, he already kind of has had an impact on the special teams thing, which is huge.
I didn't know him and Bubba played together.
I know.
He had to have been like 10 years older than Bubba.
I think, because I think Bubba played early on in his career in New England. I mentioned Tristan McKenzie's on the bump today. That's not what we're going to talk about for the entire segment. Just to start here, though, given the report in the interview by Jason Lloyd and Zach Meisel that he is pitching through an injury that happens to be a UCL tear going all the way back to, I think, June of last year. Does this start feel super important for you with Tristan?
Yes. I mean, we said this yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, I can't tell whether it feels super important because I read that and now it's in the front of my brain, or whether it feels important like that interview was basically, hey, he's got a start, two starts, maybe three starts left before a decision has to be made. I don't know. By the way, that's a supposition. The truth is, I don't know. But, like, I don't know if that's how the Guardians are viewing it, but it certainly feels like the next 2 to 3 starts will go a long way to decide. And here's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily Tommy John or bust, you know, Tommy John or no surgery at all. Like, in the piece that Jason and Zach wrote, Aaron Nola, previously a Philly, he staved off Tommy John for the same reason that Tristan did, which is smack dab in your money-making years of your career. He came back, struggled, his velocity was down. That's clearly what the issue right now is with Tristan. His fastball is a meatball. But then what Nola had to do was Nola went out and basically had to get his legs. And it took him about 2 months. He came back, and he was fine. With Tristan, there's just no meat on the bones, man. He is sticks for a reason. He is incredibly thin. I don't know that would be something, all right? Give him, you know, maybe when Gavin Williams come back, he threw a simulated game the other day. Maybe when Gavin comes back.
Gavin!
Maybe when he comes back.
Can you send something in the DMs about Gavin?
Yeah. Well, I think that was it. He threw a simulated game. It went really well. So maybe when he comes back, you allow yourself to maybe move sticks and say, all right, just focus on getting your legs right, right? Because the worst thing that could happen is the downside of letting him pitch through all this is he does further damage,
right,
and it just ends up in Tommy John anyways. I'm not fait accompli on that. But at somehow, some way, you got to get that stuff back. Because if that fastball is going to top out at 90, we saw the same thing with Bieber last year. If the fastball tops out at 90, as good as any of his other pitches are, the fastball is the thing that makes the whole thing go. Maybe not to, like, being okay, but to being the best version of yourself, that's what it's got to be. The long-winded way of me saying, I also agree with you, tonight feels like a really important start for Tristan.
If it doesn't go well, this whole thing could just get shut down, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real, I think that's a fair fear.
Fair. That's hard to say.
So with that being said, the morning show today,
the morning boys.
We're talking and soliciting calls on the lack of buzz for the Cavaliers in the playoffs. And I'll be honest, I don't know how they gauge that. I don't know if Lima has his own fanometer. We've got the Foxometer on this station.
We do.
Now that's for the Guardians. We have not. That's trademarked only for the Guardians. It's not. You can't cross-utilize it, basically. It's not cross-trained across different sports. Yet, I will say. I don't know if Lima has his own. He's maybe got like a team of pollsters that call random Cavs fans after a game and maybe gauge their excitement on a 1-10 basis. But Lima, all week, has been talking about the lack of buzz for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, they had a caller today who actually kind of tied it back to the Guardians in the Guardians' quick start. And kind of compared that to the Cavs postseason and the lack of excitement.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dimmed excitement on that.
Matt and Eastlake, you're next up in the Fan. Hello.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm in a weird place with the Cavs and the Guardians where it's just like no one impresses me much, like, until you actually like win something.
Wait, the Guardians don't impress you at 13-6?
It's regular season. Like, we've had plenty of good regular seasons. Like wake me up when we do some of the playoffs.
So, one, I do think, I've thought about this a lot, Guardians pushback when they're good, whether it's, well, it's a short sample size, or whether it's, well, but the Dolans don't spend, and everything in between. it is a sore spot for me. I can admit that. Like, I don't think the Guardians get enough credit from certain segments of people out there. I understand that the Dolans are who the Dolans are. I still think the front office is top-notch in baseball. I think Vogt has a chance here to be a really nice manager. So, like, I think when you look at how they do it, I think they do it as well as you possibly can in a market like this where you're a low-revenue organization with an ownership group not willing to lose money over the team. But it all just comes back to, well, what have you done? And it's wild to me that the Guardians don't get credit for the regular season success. Because in football, it's 17 games. Long-ass season.
Long season.
But it's a 17-game season. There are 17 games to grade you on. So winning goes a long way in the regular season. But like we saw this year, a lot of buzz in December on this team. They got waxed in the playoffs, and the buzz went bye-bye. That week, fans were not in a mood for a retrospective after the Texans game of like, gosh, wasn't it fun? No, it was, that sucked. This is dumb. I'm going to hibernate. Like, I'm done with this. I'll come back to it in a month. And that is how I kind of think it went. So I think with the Guardians, I think baseball is the one sport where I don't think it's like a silver lining to be like, well, you won 92 games. Now you got bounced down the first round, but you won a butt ton of baseball games and you gave your home audience a good summer. Like, I don't think you can say that, and maybe it's the weather doesn't help. I don't think you can say that even in an 82-game setting in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now, some of this is the dynamics are different. How you have to win matters a lot differently from one market to next in baseball than it does in the NBA. Right? Like, there are certain markets with advantages. LA has its advantages, Miami, Boston, New York. But the difference between the other 24 teams, 24 markets, there's not really a big difference. Right? Draft, develop your own stars, and maybe down the line trade for somebody else's star if you get the opportunity. Like, in baseball, the Guardians don't build the same way the Rays do. The Rays don't build the same way the Brewers do. They're all very smart and fiscally conservative by nature, but like, the way they build and what they prioritize is wildly different. It's just different relocation of assets, basically. And then the difference between any one of those three teams and St. Louis, and then from St. Louis to LA, like, the competitive playing field is wildly different. The other big thing is, I mean, baseball takes you from the end of March until November. I know, like, yes, the point is to win championships. I'm not here to tell you. I think it's harder for a town like Cleveland to win a championship in baseball than it is in the NBA. Because I think the financial disparity is real, and that does not exist in the NBA. And it certainly doesn't exist in the NFL. That becomes, does your owner want to spend money or does he not? But I think the other thing is, like, I'm not trying to tell you to enjoy it. I'm not trying to go full Dolans. But like when Matt, the caller that we played earlier, when he just kind of out of hand was like, wake me up when you do something in the playoffs. They literally did something 2 years ago in the playoffs. They went to the brink of the ALCS. So what people really mean in town when they say, wake me up when they win a World Series. We don't do that with any other team in town. Like right now, it's wake me up when the Cavs win a playoff series.
Yeah, no, it is.
And here's the thing. It wasn't even wake me up when the Browns win a damn playoff game.
If the Guardians get the playoffs, there's no wake me up at all. It's we're woke.
Yeah. Well, no, but isn't it interesting that there's still if you were to make the playoffs tomorrow somehow, there would still be people say, well, you haven't won a World Series since 1948. And I just that side of this, and then kind of extrapolating to the Cavs, that kind of gets back to what we talked about that one game buy-in, the importance of one game with the Cavs. Because when the Guardians get to the ALCS, I do think most everybody in town is on hand. But the fact that you have to get to the third round of the playoffs to get everybody on board is wild, whereas I think everyone's on board on Sunday, or on Saturday, the second they win. If the Cavs win, no matter how it looks, The difference
went on a last second buzzer beater that people are still going to be fired up about all that.
Because really, all they're looking for is any proof in the playoffs. So I think it's interesting that even in Cleveland, one playoff game or one playoff series doesn't hold the weight from one team to another. That's what stood out to me, why we played that call. Because it's like, I actually agree with it with the Cavs. I am, show me. We said that to start the show. Like, show me. Show me you're ready to win. Because this thing's been building for 6 years to this moment. And the whole organization punted on bigger changes last year because they wanted to see it again in the playoffs. Show me. But the second, and I think you're going to hear it on this station, the second that we are shown, get ready for some bandwagon jumping on Monday. 216-474-0092. For both the Cavs and the Guardians, are you wake me up when they win a playoff game? Are you wake me up when they maybe do something? Because I will say, Matt was talking about a 13-6 baseball team and sounded very unexcited about it. You can't say, and I'm not saying Matt said this, but there are Guardians fans who are like, well, they're not going to be any good this season. And then they surprise people through 20 games. Well, okay, wake me up on the playoffs end. Can you have it both ways? Again, that I'm supposing in this case that's what Matt's doing. Like, listen, I am in show me mode. It's show me playoff mode with the Cavs. Because they made the playoffs last year. Because it was so embarrassing the way they lost last year. And I'm ready to see the Cavs fulfill what I think is their potential. So I'm very excited. I've got a lot of chips in this series, and I want to see them come out. And we'll talk about this more later. I want to see some sort of statement tomorrow at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. With the Guardians, can't we just live in that bubble of, oh my gosh, they got the best record in baseball through 19 games? Because that's where I am. Will we get to a point like last year, going into 2023, we kind of were, all right, can you build on last year and maybe instead of topping out the ALDS, could this year, could you top out at the ALCS, right? Could we get that linear progression? But now, there were no expectations for this team. So to say, well, we've seen playoff success, I think that's spoiled. I understand if that's how people feel in September. Yeah, okay, they won 90 games. Yeah, they won the AL Central. But let me see how you do in the wild card round. Or let me see how you do. I totally get that. I don't necessarily like it because I think the Guardians get slighted at almost every turn with how people pick and choose to be fans of the Guardians. But I'm not policing your fandom. But to do it with 19 games in, I don't know that's the team we should be saying, show me in the playoffs for. I think it's the Cavs. I think that's the appropriate show me in the playoffs. And I think the Browns are probably next up on that, considering how the playoffs went this last year.
And the last time.
Yeah.
I mean, the last two appearances. Yeah, it is show me time with the Cavaliers. And boy, if they don't show us on Saturday, Nick, it's going to be really, really tough to get up for the game on Monday.
Roy, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Yeah, how y'all doing? Listen, so I served warrants for a living, all right? And I had to literally pull over because I actually heard when this guy said, you know, wake me up when the Guardians do something. Listen, man, we are 13-6. Right now, to me, the Guardians are the most exciting team in our city right now. We got to get behind them. I just don't understand what the problem is. If the Cavs, you know, go on a little losing streak, oh, that's okay. Somebody's hurt. If the Browns, and I love the Browns, they're going to lose a streak, oh, it's okay, somebody's hurt. But when the Guardians do anything wrong, anything, and keep in mind, they're not doing nothing wrong, we ain't getting no love. I just don't understand why we doing this, man. I don't understand it.
Roy, I think it is a complex answer, and I thank you for the call. I think some of it does, I think a good deal of it has to deal with ownership, and I do think like they haven't won a championship since 1948. I think we're spoiled by three World Series trips in the last almost 30 years. I how many ALCS runs do they have? Seven, maybe eight, and I think we're a little spoiled. I do. And I think that happens. In a way, I think that is a positive. I think that shows you that the expectations have raised. The only way the expectations raise are if that team continuously or somewhat continuously meets or exceeds the mark, right? You move the goalpost when you're like, okay, well, that was cool. Just making the playoffs, which they hadn't done before 94, they hadn't won forever. Just making the playoffs is no longer enough. I just don't understand why we're talking about that when they're 13-6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!